I would like to read some verses from the second epistles of the New Testament. I have a line on my mind which has burdened me for the past few days, and I trust and pray that this is the occasion, the time when I should bring it before you. 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians, chapter 13. Verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. 2 Thessalonians, please, chapter 3. Verse 13. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, and for connection, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now let us turn, please, to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter 3. The last verse, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Now finally, 2 John. 2 John and verse number 8. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. That's all I intend to read of the good word of God, and look to God to give definite help. All the second epistles in the New Testament have to do with last day conditions. For example, in 2 Corinthians 13, in the second epistle to the Corinthians, where Paul's authority questioned, opposed, and undermined. Same today. In 2 Thessalonians, we have worrying assembly troubles. In 2 Timothy, we have times of indifference. In 2 Peter, we have worsening world conditions. 2 John, we have the spread of evil doctrine. I want to speak tonight on last words for last days. It's interesting to notice the final appeal and exhortations of Paul, and John, of course, and Peter, in the second epistles. Words that are pithy, pungent, powerful, applicable, very pertinent to these last days. Words that we need to give attention to and remember every day. In 2 Corinthians, it's live in peace. In 2 Thessalonians, it's be not weary. In 2 Timothy, it's preach the word. 2 Peter, let's grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 John, let's look to yourselves. Would you agree with me that these are powerful entreaties and exhortations? Last words from the apostles for last days. 2 Corinthians 13, be perfect, that is, be restored, and be adjusted in relation to your brethren. Be of good comfort, lovely words. Be of one mind, live in peace. Isn't this a suitable word for us in last day conditions? Are we not to be concerned about peace in the assembly and preserving that peace from the attacks of the enemy? Live in peace. Very suggestive, very significant words for last days. Live in peace. I cannot help but think of Joseph's final word to his brethren in Genesis 45, verse 22. See that ye fall not out by the way. Don't be quarrelsome. Don't begin to argue one with another or to blame one another. Be at peace, says Joseph. Can you appreciate the wisdom of those words to his brethren? The importance of them? Be in peace. There were at least three reasons why they needed to be at peace one with another. Number one, they had a long journey to go back to the Father. A long journey. And they would be in each other's company for a long time. It's not easy being in assembly fellowship, especially in a small assembly. And we've been with the same brethren and fellow believers for many, many years. And we think we know their weaknesses and difficulties. My dear fellow believers, and young believer especially, learn to live with your fellow believers. Be concerned about harmony and unity in the assembly. Let nothing come in to mar or spoil it. It's something that we should be exercised about. I believe the devil in these last days is diametrically attacking the assemblies of God's people gathered to the Lord's name. So you may have been a long time with your brethren. Thank God for that. But I trust you love them and respect them. And don't rub them up the wrong way. Or be critical of them. I trust there's no undercurrent in the assembly in which you are in fellowship. It's working away like a cancer to destroy the realized presence of Christ in the midst of his people. Another reason why these words of Joseph, final words to his brethren, be at peace, they were important. Not only because of the long journey that the brethren were going to take going back home, but you know, they were all forgiven. And not only were each of those brethren of Joseph forgiven, but something else. He had given them a commission. And what was that commission? See that you tell my father of all my glory in Egypt. What a commission that was. What a mission these brethren had to go back with the glad tidings that Joseph is yet alive. Tell my father of all my glory in Egypt. These are searching things. Searching things. He could see that his brethren needed to be at peace one with another. If they began to argue, if they began to quarrel one with another, they would be forgetting the commission that Joseph gave them. That commission demanded the unity and harmony of the brethren. Am I right? To make that commission effective, brothers and sisters, we have a higher, a more glorious and greater commission. Go ye into all the world, said the Saviour, and preach the gospel. I should live a saintly, godly life. I should walk rightly in my life, lest I mar that commission and spoil that commission in its effectiveness. It's so easily possible to do that. I say again, the commission of our Lord Jesus demands the unity of His people. I like the thought I suggested to you in 2 Corinthians 13, adjusted one with another. I understand the word comes also from the joint out of order. Brethren, let us be concerned about unity. Let us think of the importance of assembly fellowship and moving with our brethren in the right direction for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some years ago, quite a while ago, there was a brother in an assembly in Scotland. He couldn't get on with three brethren in his home assembly. Try as he could and would, he just couldn't get on with these three men. I don't recommend you to do what he did. It was extreme. He emigrated to Australia to get away from them. And he'd hardly been there a month or two, he wrote back to a friend and said, you wouldn't believe it, brother, but the same three brethren are here. Brethren, let us pray about the unity of the assembly. Let us have right, please, relationships with one another. Let nothing interfere with that. So what's the final word in 2 Corinthians of the Apostle Paul in last day conditions? Live in peace. 2 Thessalonians, it's be not weary. Don't lose heart. I believe, and it's sad, there are quite a number of believers in the assembly of fellowship that are on the brink of losing heart. Or maybe actually discouraged. Assembly troubles. Problems. What can we do? What should we do? One said very simply, in a time of assembly troubles, say little, but pray much. That's quite wise advice, my brethren. Live in peace. Be not weary. Don't lose heart. Am I speaking to a dear believer? You've almost lost heart. Is it worth continuing? Should I try again? Do my best with God's help to be a help in the assembly? Can I in any way heal this trouble? One thing you can do, my brother, my sister, is pray. 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 I don't need to move out of the context of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 to see what are the ways that we can do well. Be not weary in well doing. What are the ways? Verses 1 and 2. Praying for God's work. Praying for God's servants. We'd be doing well if we did that, wouldn't we? And do you do it? We do well when we pray for God's servants and God's work. Yes, we do well too. Not only that time, that occasion. that we do well, my dear brother and sister, practicing the word of God, says Paul. I know that you will do and will do the things that I command you. Is prayer important in my life? Are the scriptures important in my life? Do I read them? Do I spend more time on the computer or on the internet? And that takes the keenness away, the keenness of appetite for the Word of God. No matter how wonderful and technical the invention may be of computers, they can and never will be a substitute for the Word of God. Don't neglect your Bible, young believer. Read the Scriptures. Delight in them. Most important, practice them. Are we doing His commandments? Do we love the Scriptures? Are we expressing the Scriptures in our lives? Interesting to see in the very context of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, this second epistle. Doing well would mean prayer. Doing well would mean also, not only in prayer, but practicing the Word of God. Are we doing that? You will never be happy in your soul until you obey wholeheartedly and completely the Word of God. Another way we can do well is in patience. I love this prayer of Paul in 2 Thessalonians 3. The Lord direct you, your hearts, into the love of God. Isn't that lovely? God's attribute. And into the patience of the Christ. Christ's attitude. It's not so much, not so much the patience that the Lord Jesus manifested in His life and public ministry. He did that. How patient He was. Yes. But He's patient at the right hand of God, exalted in heaven, waiting for the moment when He will come to claim His bride and come to rapture the church to the air and take the church to heaven. Oh, that we had some measure of the patience of Christ. Oh, that we were like Christ in patience, especially in dealing one with another. The context flowing from this is very sad, from that prayer of 2 Thessalonians 3. There are those who are walking disorderly and need to be disciplined. Isn't it nice and very fitting that that word comes in? While discipline may have to be exercised, it's unpleasant, but it's necessary. Don't forget the patience of Christ. Are we like Christ? The great Gandhi of Indian fame said, I like your Christ. I don't like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike Christ. That's some statement, isn't it? We would all honestly admit this evening that we are not like Christ. But we should be Christly in our dealings with our brethren. We should be Christ-like in the assembly, even in times of problems and difficulties and trouble. Or to be like Christ. Dwell on these three things. Doing well. Be not weary in well doing. In prayer. In the practice of the Word of God. And in patience. Isn't that lovely? What's the message, the last word to the Corinthians? For last days, for us. Live in peace. What's the last word in 2 Thessalonians? Be not weary. Come to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Preach the word. If ever there was a needy exhortation for these last days, here it is. I know that I'm speaking in the context of Northern Ireland, and you live in a privileged country where the gospel is spread abroad and where the gospel is preached so regularly. Thank God for that. But there are areas in England and Scotland and Wales where the gospel meeting is stopped, it's ceased. There's no exercise to have one. Preach the word in spite of, what can I say? In spite of indifference, preach the word in spite of innovation, men, teachers, having itching ears. All was besotted with something new. Something new. We live in those days now. We want something different. Something up to date. Something appealing. Something nice. Like the man that went into a store and said to the storeman behind the counter, "Have you got anything new?" "Well, yes, mister, the counter that you're leaning on is new paint." It's a bit sticky. And I want to tell you, spiritually speaking, things will be sticky with you if you ignore the word of God. We need to preach the word in spite of innovation. Or indifference. Or in subjection. Many, says Paul, erred from the truth. We should preach it in the light of the fact that Christ is coming in his second advent and has set up his kingdom. He's the judge of the living and the dead. That would impart, wouldn't it, a sense of urgency to the gospel. To the need to preach the gospel. I'm glad of this last word for last days in 2 Timothy. Aren't you? It's good to consider. Live in peace. It's good to think seriously and soberly of being not weary. But what about this? Preach the word. Of man's ruin and God's remedy. I can't observe things here, but I know back home we have more addresses and sermons than we do preaching the word. Holding forth the message of the gospel. Would you believe it, to all intents and purposes, by appearance anyway? I went to a fairly large assembly of 16 fellowship for a series of gospel meetings. How it all came about, God alone knows. An old sister of nearly 90 came up to me and she said, "How did you get here?" It was in another country, I'll not tell you which country. Well, the brethren invited me and had quite an exercise and burden to go. "Mister," she said, "you are the first preacher to have gospel meetings for 60 years in this assembly." What's wrong? 60 years? How can one go on in such conditions? We need to see souls saved. The blessing of God in salvation, a work of grace amongst us. We need to preach the word. I don't know whether I should tell you this, but I'll let you into a little secret, if I can call it that. Many years ago, still a young man, you know, I asked God, "Why is it I'm not seeing souls saved?" It worried me. What's wrong? Lord, I've gone several years, not a soul. John said the Lord as it were to me, "John, you're not preaching the gospel simply. You're teaching it, and that's good. Doctrine's important, but John, preach it, preach it, preach it." I did. And from that moment God began to bless. And souls were saved. I tell you, there's nothing like preaching the word, preaching the gospel. I went to one assembly, you know, to this. We didn't see one soul saved in an assembly in County Durham, near my birthplace, in the northeast of England. Not one soul was saved, but I didn't know before I went to that assembly that that assembly was divided, and I mean divided, right down the middle. 25 in fellowship. As a result of those meetings, the division, the jealousies, the envies, the trouble, the attitudes were healed. And for the first time for 30 years, the saints came together really in harmony. The gospel did that. It's good for the assembly. It's helpful for the assembly. So, live in peace. Be not weary. Preach the word. What's the word for last days in 2 Peter? Grow in grace. Isn't it significant? Isn't it lovely? Isn't it just like God to give us this final word in this second epistle contemplating last days? The very last word. The context has to do with major prophetic events. The day of the Lord, the day of God, perilous times, decadent conditions, last day conditions of rebellion and opposition to God's authority. Is this what Peter's saying? Important as these events I've brought before you, do not be occupied with them to the extent that you lose out in your own soul's history and condition. It's possible to do that, you know. Oh, I would recommend, yes, a study of that chapter, 2 Peter chapter 3, about last days, about the day of the Lord and the day of God. Very interesting, very, very solemn, and very searching. No wonder, Peter says, what manner of people ought we to be in the light of these things? We should be more holy in our life. More zealous in the witness. Closer to God. More prayerful. More concerned about our brethren. It's all over here. Peter says, listen. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. What a final word. Are you growing? Are you spiritually developing? Are you? You know, Peter starts almost on that note of growth in the first epistle, chapter 2, doesn't he? Desire the sincere milk of the word of God, that ye may grow thereby. A mother with her babe, an infant, sucketh it. It comes straight from the mother. Can I apply that simple observation like this? You can never improve on getting things directly from the Lord. Comedies are good. Bible programs may be helpful. But nothing can take the place, remember, of you reading your Bible and being concerned about your soul condition. What's the last word I want to give you? Live in peace, be not weary, preach the word, grow in grace, look to yourselves. Lest, says the apostles, our work in you is nullified and non-effective and comes to naught. But he says this. What does he say? Look to yourselves. I take it, brothers and sisters. The dominance in those days of false teaching, for verse 9 says in 2 John, listen to this. Whosoever transgresses goes beyond the word of God and abides not in the doctrine of Christ is not of God. In the light of that, it gives a very severe solemn responsibility to every believer to go in for spiritual growth, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you say, that word's simple. I know it is. But God can bless it. It's been a burden on my mind, as I've said, for days. The longer I live, dear brethren, and serve the Lord, the harder it gets to be sure of the Lord's mind in ministry. Very, very important. So what's the message as I close from these second epistles? What's the message? Can I sum it up like this? In last day conditions, don't disturb the peace of the assembly. Don't lose sight or lose heart in assembly troubles. Don't give up preaching. Don't stop growing in grace. And don't lose out at the judgment seat of Christ. Says John, that you may have a full reward. Where will the judgment seat of Christ take place? In heaven, I believe. When? At the rapture. What will happen? He'll assess our work, our motives. Dare to be right, dare to be true. Keep the great judgment seat ever in view. You know, we are living today individually, I include myself, many of us. We are not living in the life daily with the judgment seat of Christ as we should. Think of these last words. Very appropriate, very penetrating, very fitting, very applicable, very powerful. May God bless His word. Let us briefly close in prayer. Our blessed God and Father, in the worthy and all-prevailing name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank You for this first meeting of the conference in Laon. How good to see the fellow believers. How good to see so many young believers. We pray that the ministries come from Thyself, and by the power of Thy Holy Spirit, Thou wilt use it for the edification, the profit, and the challenge of Thy dear people. Take all home in safety. To Thee we ascribe all the glory. Through our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Sing in closing, number 175. 175, a well-known hymn, and I'd just like to think of verse 4. Chosen not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee, hidden in the Saviour's side, by Thy Spirit sanctified. Teach me, Lord, on earth to show by my love how much I owe. We'll stand to sing this hymn, number 175.